All right, thank you for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show, and you are listening to episode number 107 on the Mile High Show. All our past episodes are available at milehighshow.com, including if you want to jump back to October 4th of 2015, episode number 42, where I sat down with Steve Simone, one of my favorite stand-up comics, and also the guest of today's episode, 107. Now, I'm going to ramble like I always do in this intro a little bit because Steve is, check him out, awesomesteve.com is his website. Links to his Good Times podcast with Steve Simone is right there, as well as links to his merch and his tour dates and all that good stuff. Steve starts... Well, no, he does it at the end. He ends his podcast sitting with his co-host, intro guy, producer, Mr. Lee Syatt, and they do what is called a gratitude list, and I'm going to rip that off right now and tell a couple of things that I'm grateful for. They don't have to be huge things. There are little things sometimes that you're grateful for, and right now I am grateful for... I'm grateful for my inhaler. I have really bad hay fever that's affecting my breathing, my coughing, so I apologize in advance. Here, let's hit it right now. breath of life. I like it. I had to go to the doctor last week to get that inhaler redone, some cough medicine to help me sleep, and some other little doodads to help me breathe better. Anyway... Steve and Lee and their guests do what's called a gratitude list. And sometimes it's major things, health, life, welfare. Sometimes it's little small things. So I am going to tell you what I am grateful for at the outset here. I'm grateful for my home in Chino Valley, Arizona, because for the past couple of weeks, it seems I've been on the road and I haven't spent much time at home. To and from Phoenix, back and forth a couple of times a week. And then this past weekend, 4 days away from my family, away from my home, which was not good, but it was good because I was going somewhere nice. I spent the weekend in the San Diego / La Jolla / Chula Vista area so I could sit down again with Mr. Steve Simone. Had him on last year in October for episode 42, and now he is back for episode 107. I am also grateful for the good folks at Enterprise Rental Car over on Gurley Street in Prescott. I had reserved a Econo car because I was trying to save a few bucks to head out to Southern Cal, but I was bringing not only my large self, but several cases of equipment, photo and audio and others, because I was heading out to listen to Mr. Steve Simone record his new CD. His current CD and audio download is available at awesomesteve.com. It is called Remember This, Great Recollections of Him Growing Up as a Middle Child of Three Brothers, and just hilarious comedy. And he was recording a new CD, a new audio download at the world-famous Comedy Store in La Jolla this past weekend. And we had made arrangements for me to travel down and take some photographs of him, Brenton Biddlecombe, Bob Hansen, and Jesse Egan, the three who were opening for him, and of course Steve, as he recorded his new CD at the world-famous Comedy Store in La Jolla, California. I jumped at the opportunity. I'm a big comedy fan, so I wanted to go just to witness it, support Steve, but also selfishly to get a chance to see the inside of that world-famous club that I've heard so much about. Now, I'm grateful also for little opportunities and mistakes, because as I pulled into Chula Vista where I was staying, I got a text from Steve and he asked if I could show up early the next day to assist him in hooking up his Zoom recorder to the soundboard because there were some circumstances that required the sound guy, the regular sound guy at the Comedy Store, he wasn't going to be around. So Steve asked, he goes, hey, we're going to record the backbone of the CD, the new CD, on Saturday night. But he wanted to capture all of the shows, two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, four in total. He wanted to capture them all so he could have like B-roll stuff, you know, things that he can flip-flop in and out, get the best takes, the best audio, audience reactions, the best presentation of his set. Combine them, but use one of the shows on Saturday kind of as the backbone, but he wanted to have the backup. And I said, of course, I'll show up and I'll give you a hand. Well, they were having some difficulties hooking up Steve's Zoom H4 recorder. I happen to have my H6, my trusty Zoom H6 that I record all these podcasts on, with me on the off chance Steve and I might have a few minutes to sit down and record something throughout the weekend. I knew he would be busy, but I was going to try and steal him away for a little bit. So we hooked up my recorder, captured some clean audio on both shows, the early and the late show on Friday, and I thought that would be it. He reaches out to me again on Saturday and says, bad news, sound guy still won't be here. Can you help me out again? What that means is that when in the near future, when Steve Simone releases his upcoming yet untitled CD/audio download on awesomesteve.com and through Amazon and through wherever else you get audio, iTunes, or at his shows for a hard copy, you will be hearing audio captured by me on my recorder. So that was quite an honor, quite a privilege, and quite an experience. I learned a lot, and I enjoyed the process and got to take some photos and above all, got to listen to four hilarious comics. Again, Steve Simone headlining, Jesse Egan, Brenton Biddlecombe, and Bob Hansen also in the mix. Now, Brenton is a Comedy Store comic. He handles also social media. I overheard him telling somebody for the Comedy Store in Hollywood. Jesse Egan is a San Diego personality and comic and host, and he does TV down there, and very, very funny. Both of those guys, and of course, Bob Hansen, who used to be a employee at the Comedy Store La Jolla. He's a retired former professional wrestler and now New York City stand-up. Hilarious. All three of them, all three different styles. Hey, there's my dog barking. But just had a ball watching all four of these guys perform, and the privilege and the opportunity to record the audio for them. Now, normally I try and do these podcasts out in the garage in my office out there, so I don't have the bird chirping and the dog barking. But you know what? I've been away this past 4 days, and before that, back and forth to Phoenix. So I'm here in my kitchen, and if you hear some dog barking, that's my pup Betty behind me. You know what? That's just me being grateful I've got a dog, and being grateful I've got a home, and it's keeping me out of this drizzly morning in northern Arizona. So anyway, ignore the dog. Try and ignore my coughing and wheezing. But I had such a great time in La Jolla to spend some time with Steve, who is a fairly new friend to me. I'm comfortable calling him a friend. I don't know. He might be offended by that. No, I hope not. But I don't know him that well. But this weekend, I got to know him and his friends a lot more, because after the show Saturday, this will give you an insight to Steve, to how awesome and how gracious and how what a good guy, what a buddy he is. Completely worn out, completely just drained after doing two shows that night, two shows the night before, and coming off the road. He also performed on Thursday at the Comedy Store in La Jolla. He had a huge show with Joe Rogan, Burt Kreischer, and several others at the Comedy Store in Hollywood the Tuesday before. So he's, and then Phoenix before that. So he's been constantly running. He winds up this big weekend for him, recording the new CD, two shows on Friday, two shows on Saturday. The last thing I'm sure he wanted to do was sit down with a knucklehead like me, but that's exactly what he did. He had friends and visitors and the other comics and the staff waiting for him in the bar at the Comedy Store, and instead we went into the green room, plugged in some mics, and sat down and talked, and I know that was not what he wanted to do, but he's such a good guy, that's exactly what he did. So thank you, Steve. I got a chance to hang out and with the staff, the other comics, for a couple hours after we recorded into the wee hour mornings at the Comedy Store. This is the world-famous La Jolla Comedy Store. I got to hang out there. They greeted me, and they treated me as an equal, even though their talent level is so above anything I can achieve. It was just a great time. They let me hang out, and they let me feel like part of the club. It was a lot of fun. Now, before that, the week before that, same thing. I got the chance to sit down with Steve in Phoenix. We hung out at a little pizza place next door to the House of Comedy where he was performing with Bob Kubota and Jonathan Gregory. And I got to be a fly on the wall. I got to hang out and just swap stories and talk and listen and laugh. It was such a great time to get in the inner circle there. It was a ball. I had a blast. So a few weeks of just some great comedy, great people. Bob Kubota, I have been a fan of for quite some time. Never met until last weekend. Hopefully we're going to get a chance to sit down and record with him soon. And then it's not done yet. This weekend, September 22nd through 24th, I will be at the Big Pine Comedy Festival in Flagstaff. Info on there is bigpinecomedyfestival.com. Dozens of comics, dozens of shows at venues in and around downtown Flagstaff, all based out of the Hotel Weatherford. They're putting me up. I'm going to be taking pictures, recording some stuff. It's going to be a great time. Tickets are still available. I think it's like $35 or $40 for a complete festival pass, access to each and every show. It's going to be great. BigPineComedyFestival.com this weekend, the 22nd through the 24th. But above all, I am thankful, grateful that I got to sit down with Steve Simone, AwesomeSteve.com, to watch him work, watch him present his craft, his art, and I got a chance to meet Jesse Egan, Brenton Biddlecombe, and Bob Hansen, and all the great people, the staff, and comics at the La Jolla Comedy Store in La Jolla, California. I can't forget here. Let's pull up AwesomeSteve.com again. Because I got to meet Ryan over at Don Carlos. Enter, click here. Check out Steve's. AwesomeSteve.com is a great website. It's a lot of fun stuff on there. Don Carlos Taco Shop on Pearl Street in La Jolla, right down the street from the Comedy Store. Great food. Ryan he's hilarious. He is thinking about getting ready to start his own podcast soon. It'll be a combo of comedians who travel in and out of the La Jolla Comedy Store talking about food and their favorite restaurants. Don Carlos Taco Shop in La Jolla, California. Ryan and his staff, I spent a couple hours there just talking to Ryan, having a ball. Check them out at eataburrito.com. Eataburrito.com, Don Carlos Taco Shop, the official sponsor of AwesomeSteve.com and the feeder of me, and that's not a small feat. Ryan took care of me. His staff took care of me. Great food, incredible food, just down the block from the Comedy Store and just down the block from the beach in La Jolla. So check out eataburrito.com for some of the greatest Mexican food ever. And if you're in the San Diego, La Jolla area, stop in and stuff your face. So let's just get on to it. Don't forget, I got to throw this out there too, if you haven't tuned out already. Check out the Amazon link at milehighshow.com for all your online shopping. It doesn't cost you anything extra, but what it does is it lets Amazon know you got there through us. Just click the banner at the bottom of the page, milehighshow.com for Amazon. And they give us a little thank you if you do your shopping there. It helps us pay for things like traveling to San Diego, traveling to and from Phoenix, traveling to the Big Pine Comedy Festival in Flagstaff. It helps us bring you the entertainers, artists, and newsmakers that we hope you're enjoying on the Mile High Show. Right next to that Amazon link is a link for Audible.com. Now, over 180,000 titles, everything from magazines, books, podcasts, comedy, music, everything audio is available at Audible.com. Use that link and the code MILEHIGH. I'm an idiot. I've got to know what I'm talking about, and I don't always know that. Let's pull up what is blah, 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 blah. What is the code that you're supposed to use when you use the Audible link at milehighshow.com? You use the code Mile High. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. All kinds of stuff. You get a 30-day free trial and a free audiobook by using the code Mile High at checkout. Again, that's free. You get that 30-day free trial. If you don't like it, you cancel. No harm, no foul, no cost, but you get to keep that title. You get to keep that audiobook. Again, almost 200,000 titles there, and it doesn't cost you a dime. But I guarantee you, once you start, you're going to want to stick around. There's so much to enjoy there at Audible using that code MILEHIGH at checkout. Just for instance, in honor of Good Times with Steve Simone, how about this? Chicken Soup for the Soul. Thanks, Dad. 101 Stories of Gratitude, Love, and Good Times. Free with your trial subscription, and you get to keep it. Learn how to get this by clicking that button and using the code MILEHIGH at checkout. This is by Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen, Wendy Walker, and Scott Hamilton doing the forward, but Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen, and Wendy Walker. Chicken Soup for the Soul. Thanks, Dad. 101 Stories of Gratitude, Love, and Good Times. Just like you'll hear at AwesomeSteve.com on the Good Times with Steve Simone podcast. And also today, episode 107, My Talk with Steve Simone at the world famous Comedy Store in La Jolla. Enjoy.
$350.
Worth it.
They've got a They've got the H5, which is, it's got the top end like mine, where you can change it, and then two on the bottom like yours.
Oh,
and cool. But the menu is the exact same as this. Easy to use. And it's like 2.25 or something like that. Really? Cheap, yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, if it's that cheap, I could give mine to a young comic that's looking to start his podcast and just go scoop one up.
Or like even his backup, or like to have thrown around, rolling around in your bag or whatever, just in case.
So you don't have to be worried. It's always important to have a backup. Are we recording that?
Yeah, I clicked
it. Oh, perfect. It's the best. Because like I was saying, like just start it. Because I remember, God rest his soul, the late, great Rowdy Piper.
Yeah.
What I learned from him was when he would do morning radio, he would just be like, stay out. It was like, no. Because like sometimes DJs want to connect before you go on the air.
Yeah.
He's like, no, it's better. Just because the good stuff, the magic happens when you just first walk in. And then so he'd wait till they were on the air, and then boom, it's the first time they're meeting him.
Yeah.
So it was that genuine.
That initial reaction.
Yeah, and like we're having so many laughs. It's like, dude, no, this is the good stuff. This is what the podcast should be.
I find sometimes, too, as soon as you're done, like I've had a couple, most everybody I get, because we sit and talk, and, you know, it's people I know when I have them on the podcast, usually.
Yeah.
And, but every once in a while you'll get somebody who's maybe thinking too much about what they're going to say, or they're just not used to being on mic. As soon as you turn it off,
that
conversation goes on.
That happens all the time.
I've just gotten in the habit of like having it on, then sit down and start talking and relax.
Sneak them in.
Yeah, and then they never know. So this was a heck of a couple of weeks for me anyway, of just having my side hurts from laughing so much. I was a little, I'll tell you right off the bat, I was a little not disappointed. Yeah, I guess disappointed when I saw your date switch from October in Phoenix to September. And the only reason being is because when I first saw the dates and we traded a couple messages, I was planning on being here for this one. And then I hit up like 8-9 guys I know from Prescott. October, this is when we're going down. We're going to crash in a room, just hang out for the
fun.
And we're going to have a bunch of guys. And then when it switched, they're like, I can't make it. I got something else that weekend. It's
off my first CD when I said, you know, you're a grown up when you have to plan your fun. Because, like, no, I wish I could. Oh, I can't do it, you know? But I'm so grateful. Number one, you saved the day this weekend. You really did. There would be no new CD.
Yeah, you haven't heard it yet. Lee's going to listen to this and go, who, bozo, did you when you find some homeless guy at the beach?
I'm just glad we got something, man.
No, it hopefully it sounds good. I was kind of monitoring during it, and it sounded pretty good.
Cool.
Might have to tweak the levels a little bit, because normally somebody would be sitting there kind of riding it and listening, but I think we're good. And then we'll see how that crowd mic works. Hopefully that picked up good enough.
Yeah, that first show tonight was magic.
Yeah, I love the new stories, man.
Thanks.
The felonies at home.
Right? Because, like, I don't want anybody to ever think my family's any different than anybody else's family. There's chaos in homes.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's like, kind of like people try to put their best face forward. I get it. You want everybody to think your family's perfect. But the thing is, nobody's family's perfect. And that's, in a weird way, that's what makes them perfect. That's what I should have said on stage tonight. Damn it. Fifth time's the charm.
I was over at the Vons yesterday before the shows, grabbing some coffee at the Starbucks. And I'm in the I had to take a picture of it. There's a poster in the bathroom at the grocery store, and it says family is, and it's got all these loving and forgiving and all this stuff. It goes on, but I had to take a picture and tweet it. I said, this is obviously somebody who's never met my family. But no, we were a close family, but it's a big family. There was five of us. I'm the youngest of five.
That's why you're so cool. No, the truth, have you noticed, like, I think part of the reason why people are kind of jerks now is that people that grow up in large families, they know they're not the center of the universe. They learn give and take. Like, whenever I meet somebody, I'm like, dude, this guy's awesome. They're like, I'm ninth out of 11. You're like, whoa.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep that with my son, because we have the one. My wife and I have one son, and
he's got you as a dad. He's so far ahead of the game.
He comes when he hangs out at work and stuff. I always think, you know, he's going to have some good stories. You know, going best. To ball games for work, that's concerts, awesome. Live music. He was with me at the fair last weekend. So it was a ball. Memories. But yeah, I tried to. I needed to keep that in mind because I didn't want him to be the typical only child that you know. I knew some growing up. I know some that some friends of ours that have one kid, and there they are. The whole everything revolves around them, and he's not getting that. It's a struggle.
Well, you know
for
what
all
I really think it is? I think as long as you're present, and I'm not trying to sound hippy dippy, whatever, just be there for the kid, and it doesn't matter if it's a kid you just go visit who doesn't even have a family. Like, people just need somebody to listen. Like, I know that sounds crazy, but I think that's all anybody really, really wants out of life is somebody to really listen.
Yeah.
Somebody to really listen and to share good times with. That's it.
And to know that it's not, you know, they're not just left alone. We were really, really careful about that. My wife and I, one of us was always with them.
Awesome.
And it was a little detriment at first because when he got a little older and closer to going to kindergarten, we were thinking, like, he's not around any kids. He's only around old people. Cause, I mean, you know, I'm 50. I just turned 50 this month.
Panama.
Oh, great, I think I threw out my shoulder.
Dude, at some point, I pulled something in my chest during the first show. I don't know how I did it. But I'm like, oh, yeah. That.
I like that. What you say? So when you're not in shape for comedy.
Yeah, I was like, oh, all right.
Yeah. But we, you know, we got him in a preschool, and it was tough. It was tougher almost for me and my wife than it was for my son. He had a miserable first couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't used to being away from us.
Yeah.
But it was harder dropping him off in the morning and watching him weep. And I was like, oh, this hurts.
I remember I cried every day at kindergarten up until about Easter. I remember like September, most of the kids were crying, about half of us.
Yeah.
But then by Halloween, I was the last Mohican, and I'm like, still crying. I'm like, no,
months
you can't
later.
Tell me this is better than hanging out with my brothers.
Yeah.
It's like, this sucks. This is prison.
See, you know, what I noticed, he was like the only one. Like, they used to go, all the other kids in preschool called him the crying boy.
Yeah.
Because they weren't. They had been in preschool from infants.
Yeah, exactly.
And they had an infant section. It's like that. To me, that was sad. Just kind of like, oh, these kids. I switched my jobs around so that I can spend now.
Yeah, that's awesome.
My wife goes to work first thing tomorrow. She starts working like 6.
Okay.
And so me and him get up at around 6. I try and get him up a little bit so he can say goodbye.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then me and him have breakfast. We read a little bit while we're having breakfast, and he has his little cup of juice. I got my big mug of coffee, and then I drop him off at school. And that's what hurts now, because after preschool, when he was crying, and I felt bad because he felt bad.
Yeah,
but I was sad too. And now I drop him off, and he's like, "See you, Pop," and he runs off. And I'm like, "Wait a minute,
you should be crying." Yeah,
but he's such a good little kid. I attribute it to him growing up with old people, me and my wife, because he's more relaxed, he's more mature, you know, as mature as he could be and being my son.
Well, I was just going to say, kids that have parents that pay attention, they're just cooler. They're just, you know what I mean? Like, that's why these, like, why do I want to go to school and hang out with these losers? I'm exposed to cool stuff with my parents.
What cracks me, I'm like the old guy dropping off the kids, because there's a lot of grandparents that are the primary guardian for a lot of the kids in our area.
Sure.
Or they're helping out because, you know, both parents work and things.
It's so tough. I don't know. Parents to me are superheroes.
So I show up and I'm like hanging out with the grandparents, dropping them off and picking them up.
Yep.
And people always ask me, are you here for your grandson? No, just my son.
Yeah.
And all the other parents are in their mid-20s, late 20s. And some of these folks, there's a couple moms there that I swear they're rolling in from a night on Prescott's Whiskey Row in the morning when they're taking their kids. And I'm
sure.
Like, you look a little hungover, maybe a little drunk still.
Not so loud, not so loud.
Hey, what was it? I was thinking while you listening to your sets the last couple weeks, talking about all the mayhem going on.
Yes.
What was the medical situation with you kids growing up? Were you in and out of the emergency rooms? Were you all self-treated?
Not as often. Bags of ice did wonders. It was like the 70s and 80s. People didn't take things this serious. Yeah. Honestly, it was like, suck it up.
What was the biggest injury you had, or you or your brothers had growing up?
Oh, I broke my knee once.
Yeesh.
That was brutal. They How say old? Psychologically that you can't remember pain. I remember that. Ooh. It was awful.
How old were you?
11.
Ooh, that's young.
Yeah, I was 11. And we had a little hill in our backyard. It was November. So all the leaves are on the ground, and it was cold enough where the ground is like the street. It's rock hard cold. And I was going down the hill, and my older brother, since he was older, he was 14 at the time, he had to rake the leaves, you know? And we were still playing, not helping him, probably should have been. But
so it's your fault.
Kind of. Well, this is what he was raking the leaves into a pile, and I was trying, like, freestyle bikes were like.
Yeah.
Like trying to do tricks on bikes. So I was like trying to go down the hill and stand on my bike, kind of. And he was like, dude, but I was afraid to let go of the handlebars. So I don't know what I was doing. And he was like, why don't you jump off your bike while you go down the hill? And I'm like, that's a great idea. And he was like, no, wait, do this. I'll rake up a pile of leaves and then jump off your bike into the pile of leaves. I'm like, yeah, what could go wrong with that? Because I remember like going to this place, Linville Orchards, and they had like stacks of hay.
Yeah.
And it was chaos in this hay barn. It was just gladiator. King of the mountain, kids just attacking each other, jumping off the hay. So I'm like, yeah, it's the same thing. And I remember my brother, I'm like, dude, that pile of leaves isn't big enough. He's like, don't be a baby. It's big enough. I'm like, dude, keep on raking. He didn't want to keep on raking. So there's like this little tiny pile of leaves. And I'm like, dude, I don't think that's going to break my fall. He's like, it's going to break your fall. As I jump off my bike, the wind from me jumping blows all the leaves away. And I landed right on my leg, and I crack. And I remember it hurting so bad that I took my hand and I was digging into the ground with my hand.
In pain?
In pain. Just digging into the frozen, clawing through the frozen frozen dirt.
Nasty.
Emergency room? Emergency room. No cast, but they gave me this thing called an immobilizer.
Was it like a strap-on cast type
thing? Yeah, it was kind of like a foam cast with plastic on each side. So I couldn't move my leg. It was a miracle that I grew. Because it cracked something called like the growth spot, the growth spur. I don't know what it, they're like, there's a chance that that leg's never going to grow.
My mom's like, had the special shoes.
Great. Oh, my gosh. I'm short enough as it is. Could you imagine if one leg was 11? But that was probably the worst.
We didn't go. My parents. I'm a little old. What were you born? What year?
73.
Yeah, so I'm seven years older than you.
Nothing.
But the my brothers and sisters. We were all there was six of us. We lost a brother before I was born.
Mm,
Sorry. Six kids in 7 years. My oldest sister 7 years older than me.
Yeah.
Just boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Boom.
My younger brother's 51 weeks younger than me. So there's 1 week out of the year we're the same age.
My oldest brother and sister, my sister than my brother, 10 months apart.
Awesome.
Yeah, something like it. My mom always says, well he was old. He was early. He wasn't that early. He was like 2 weeks early, Mom. Give it a break. The days before cable TV. But so we're jam-packed in there. But I, even growing up, like when I was in elementary and junior high and stuff, the music I was listening to came down from my brothers and sisters. Yeah, so I was always up, you know, listening to older stuff.
Okay, first off, nobody was ever cooler to me than teenagers when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
The coolest. And, like, I joke tonight, like, about my big brother was a jerk, but he was also my ambassador to cool.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the reason why I love Van Halen to this day is because my older brother loved Van Halen. It's like, imitation's the highest form of flattery, you know? Big brothers are, it's like that movie Almost Famous. One day you'll be cool. And the big sister, you know? It's like they show you what's up.
You know, it was on in the motel today while I was getting ready. Dazed and Confused on Comedy Central.
That movie's so good.
It feels like my old neighborhood, man.
Grew up like that?
Sort of, yeah. We were in a suburb. It wasn't, they had some country spots out there where they would go out in the fields and that. But just the cars and the music and the haircuts.
And good times.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, talk about complete freedom, complete fun. There, it's missing.
Yeah.
Like, there's sort of like kids now, this is what I see, kids that age, high school kids, you have the quote-unquote good kids that are putting so much pressure on themselves to achieve.
Yep.
That they're not enjoying themselves. They're not. They're like, I have to get into this school. I have
already
to
in college courses, worrying about
right in 10th grade, yeah, getting nosebleeds over standardized tests, not having any fun. And then you have kids that have given up, where they're kind of like, I'm not doing anything, or their fun isn't innocent. There's like no more, smoke a joint, have a couple beer. Like, my parents would call it safe rebellion. Like, they would let us get away with a little bit.
Yeah.
Because they knew if they were too strict, that's when they would lose us.
Yeah.
And it was like that movie was just, to me, inspired me to want to go out and enjoy life more. Dazed and Confused is awesome. Yeah. Like, the music's great. It's just fun. It's like, yeah, let's drink beer. Let's have some laughs.
Yeah. That scene where they're at the arcade, that was, for us, that was Le Mans Speedway at the mall.
Awesome.
It was like a basement. It was like a basement. They had like little bumper cars and an arcade and stuff. That was where everybody, you know, when you were in junior high, that's where you wanted to hang out.
Sounds great.
You wanted to hang out and stand around and be cool. I would hang out there but never be cool. It was like I'd watch all the cool kids.
Do you know what's awesome, though? You realize that cool's an illusion.
Yeah.
Like, when you get older, it's the best.
And there's those same kids, every once in a while, see them, like, especially like on Facebook or something, social media. It's like, that's you get the same haircut. And it looks like you're trying to wear the same size shirt.
Yeah, you peaked 30 years ago, man.
Still driving that Firebird.
Yeah. It's like, so I think the coolest people are the people that are just nice, that are like, hey, man, cool's not, you know what cool is? Just caring. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, that sure comes through in what you're doing, man. Like I say, this past couple weeks has been incredible just being able to watch as – because, you know, you're working through some new stuff in Phoenix and then recording it here and just seeing the different ways you were weaving the stories and stuff was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was trying to make it come alive in every show.
Yeah.
So the first CD was a little more methodical in terms of storytelling. It was more like, this story will build upon this story, will build upon this story, will build upon this story.
Yeah.
This was more traditional stand-up, but I think it had a stronger point of view. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Where I was like, hey, man, this is how I feel about life, and this is what I want you guys to take with you. And I do believe that. I think we should just be loving and kind and enjoy it all. Now, it goes by so fast.
Now, how many – what did you say you were talking to the guy from the Comedy Store here?
Yeah.
What do you think came through the doors this weekend, last four shows?
Realistically, first show was packed tonight. I'd probably say at least 500.
How many of those folks do you personally know? Like, you and I, we've talked a little bit. I've seen you at a few shows.
Probably 2, 4, 6, 9, 10. Under 15.
Really?
Yeah.
Because watching, as people were coming in and out,
it
appeared that you knew most of. I mean, it just seemed like you did.
Well, you know what happens is, I think it's the highest compliment you could pay somebody, like as a comic, I think. For me, at least, what I try to do. The highest is that people feel like they know me.
Yeah.
And
how much of that comes through the podcast? You think that's the catalyst for it? You think that's most of it?
No, ideally, that's what I want to happen.
Yeah.
But there weren't that many podcast listeners.
Really?
There was probably, in addition to the 15 that listen, that were here, that I know for sure, probably another 15. But also, people get shy. It's weird. It's like, if people really listen, if they're really fans, I'll go home tonight and there'll be 3-5 messages where people are like, it was in every podcast. I was at the show tonight. I'm like, dude, you should have said hi.
Yeah.
Like, this is why I do it. I do it because I love people.
See, I'm the other way. I big fan of the podcast before I met you.
Yeah.
And I can't remember, it was a few months before you were out in Phoenix last year.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And I sent you, I bought a couple CDs, or I bought a CD, and you sent me two.
Yeah.
With a handwritten note.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was blown away. This is great. Yeah. So, but when I did come to the show and meet you for the first time, It felt from listening to the podcast
that's
and
my
listening
favorite.
To the way you talk with people and yeah. you and Lee doing the intros.
Yeah.
I felt like I knew you.
That's what I want.
But then for me, as a, I remember going back to the motel in Phoenix that yeah. last year, and I'm going, what was I bothering him? Because yeah. so like I wanted to hang out. So, and I'm
but
thinking,
you know what's
and you
so
were.
Crazy? The people that get what I do feel that because yeah. that's what I do. Like tonight, my agent came down. Or a girl that works for my agency.
Yeah.
She's like, how come I had to find out about this on Facebook? How come you didn't invite us? I'm like, because I didn't want to bother you guys. She's like, you're recording a CD. We want to be here to support you. We love you. That's why we represent you. I'm like, oh. I never want to, I always feel like I'm imposing. I never want to hurt anybody's feelings. But I want everybody to feel included. Yeah. I want everybody to feel loved. And I want people to hang out. Like, I do this because I love people. Yeah. It's not an act.
When you see, that's a. I was listening to. I get my mind doesn't always work. Road Stories, yeah. Murray yeah. Valeriano.
Yeah.
And you, that's. I think that's the first time I was able to say his name out loud. I always crack up.
Yeah, I always mess it up.
Well, he makes fun of that on his podcast about how people butcher it, and I say it to myself and go, ah, how can they mess that up?
Yeah.
And then I met somebody who was on his podcast, and I said, hey, I heard you on Murray Valeriano. And I butchered it. But he was talking about you, and I can't remember
oh, wow.
who his guest was. It was a female comic.
It's probably Kira.
Yeah.
I know they're
yes.
friends.
And it was, her and Jen Kirkman were popping in my head.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was Kira Sultanovich. And she was going, he's just the nicest guy. He's just the nicest guy. And I see that through your podcast or your comedy,
yeah.
and then in our interactions.
Yeah.
I kind of want. To like see you know walk see some security footage of you like kicking a dog and punching a baby or
oh,
something.
I'm a just human being. Like Craig Gass, I did one of my favorite podcasts I ever did was number 100.
Yeah,
and it just worked out that way. It was with Craig Gass, and he was like, "Do you ever get angry?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm a human being." And just as luck would have it, I was really stressed out that time of year because it was right before Christmas, and I was doing too much. And I think anybody can relate to the holidays
yeah.
doing too much. And in particular, I was really I was trying to give back a lot, and because the truth is, I'm a very sensitive guy. Like, I don't think I'm a good person. I'm just sensitive, and if I see somebody that needs help, I'm just like, oh, how come I'm the only one willing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, let's help this person, and I've been so blessed because everybody does want to help. But they need a way to do it.
They don't want to be the first one.
Right, and they yeah. don't know how. And yeah. I didn't know how either, but I'm like, this kid's dying. Let's give him a good Christmas.
Yeah.
So that's what we did. I was doing a lot of stuff at Children's Hospital. And then there's that, and there's all these great people that want to give back, that want to help. So I'm dealing with all that. And then there's also, like, this profound selfishness. And I feel bad. Ultimately, I know when you're selfish, what you really need is a hug.
Yeah.
Because people treat each other how they feel about themselves. It's the truth. But I'm driving to Craig's house, and there was an old man in a 600 brand new 600 Mercedes just driving like an and tried to cut out in front of me. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I'm like, what? And because I had the right of way, and
yeah.
he beeped and gave me the finger. So then I stopped my car, and I'm like, are you effing crazy? And he said something to me, and I went, get out of your car, you old mother, and spit on his car. Because I'm a human being,
please,
too.
Please tell me there's YouTube footage.
I was like, this is Sparta. Like, that's how pissed I was.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And so it's there. I'm a human being. I get like that. I feel bad afterwards. I know that's a moment of weakness.
Yeah.
But, hey, man, I forgive everybody, and I would just hope people forgive me, too.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
We're all human beings. Nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
And I'm far from that.
Man. So run me through how your last CD was. You did it here as well.
Yeah.
Remember this?
Yeah, I had Brenton Biddlecombe on that show. He did the spot Bob did after me. But that show, Steve Ranazzisi from The League came down. He was like, dude, we're going to sell some tickets. I'm going to promote it for you. I'm like, what? He goes, don't pay me. Just let me be your opening act. He goes, I don't know how much time I'm going to do. He goes, as soon as I get them perfect, then I'm going to bring you up on stage. And that's what he did. And it was also his genius idea where he goes, check drop. No check drop on a CD. No. Brenton will go on after Steve.
Yeah.
So that's what it was. And I was, I, I, uh, I listen to that CD now. I'm still very proud of it, but there's stuff I would change on it.
Yeah.
And I think I was working a little bit fast. Like my pacing was off a little bit. Like I was a little bit needy.
How many shows did you
We recorded all four, but I think what that is essentially one show.
Gotcha. With
like maybe one bit spliced in.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And what I did learn from that was, and I don't know if you've noticed it, but every show, different this time.
Yeah.
Meaning in terms of the order and the pacing, because I want it to come alive in the moment.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you go from A to B to C, it loses something.
The spontaneity, like, you kind of get into the
rhythm too much. If you try to get too many tags, too many. If you try to make it like Geezer Butler from – I love Black Sabbath. Geezer Butler from Black Sabbath once said you can never get it perfect. And he was like, when you try too hard to get it perfect, it loses its magic. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, it's true. It's true. And I'm just – that's another lesson I'm learning and trying to implement.
That and once you become really satisfied with something, especially if it's something you have to do repeatedly,
yeah,
you're going to – at least for me anyway, you start getting lazy. I do. I start getting...
It stops like, being fun.
Yeah.
It's got to be new to be fun. Like Neil Brennan once told me, he goes, jokes are like tires. He was like, after a while, they lose their tread. They stop working. And then last night, I'm like, yeah, they're like toys. Your new toy is the one you want to play with the most. Like there was some stuff this weekend that wound up on the CD that was either created in the moment.
Yeah.
During these shows or so... Do you know a bit I've just wrote in the last month?
What's that?
The one about us all being connected.
Yeah.
The guys at the airport and the laptop. I probably only performed that. I performed that more in the last 2 weeks than I had altogether.
Nice.
For sure. Because I was just messing around one night at the Comedy Store. And I remember after seeing the incident at the airport like 2 weeks ago. I mean, 2 years ago. I did it that night after I saw it because it was magical. And then I went to a charity event this summer, and it just made me feel so good that I told the laptop story where I was like, you don't even have to do something good. You just have to see something good, and it makes you feel better about life and
you're
people.
You're part of something bigger than
yes.
you.
Yes, kindness. We just, we're connected. It's all real. So I'm like, all right, that's kind of like fun, and I feel it in the world because I think our political system is such a mess, and the world's such a mess right now. Let's stop this divide and conquer.
Yeah.
Just love. Like, not hippy-dippy, but like, hey, man, just – I know – like, I saw somebody once give this talk, and they said, you can only hate strangers. That as soon as you get to really, really know somebody, you're going to wind up loving them.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
The way you say that, it's like it's not hippy-dippy. Just it's kind of sad that we've come to a spot where just being decent – is considered something weird, you know?
It's countercultural. Yeah. Like, I didn't get into it as much on the CD as I had hoped, and who knows how it's all going to shake out. Maybe I'll use it, maybe I won't. The CD, maybe somebody will let me film something. But I really want to dedicate more stuff to moms.
Yeah.
And a year ago, I had 20 minutes of material on moms, and now it's just more infused throughout the act. But that came from performing on Mother's Day and people getting mad at me for giving moms a shout-out. I'm like, ooh, wait a second. Has society gotten that sick that we don't appreciate compassion? People that will sacrifice their own needs for somebody else's? And I'm like, I think the most rebellious thing I can do right now is not curse on stage and talk about love and kindness.
Yeah.
Because that's how lost we are. And that's why people are miserable. Does that make sense? Yeah. We wrapping up? What time is it? How long have we been going?
Yeah, about a half hour.
You out of here? Give me a hug, buddy. It'll make the podcast more real. I love you, dude. Thanks for hanging out. Did you get CDs? You got one for your bro?
Thank you so much for helping me out, too. Man. Yeah.
See you, Maddie. Good. Take care, bro.
Matt as well?
Yeah, of course. It's a great name.
Yeah, that's what, you know, not trying to sound all sappy or anything, but that's one of the things that really hit me becoming a father so late in life. You know, I was 44.
Awesome.
43 when he was born.
Yeah.
And just thinking like, because in my head, I'm still 19, 20, 21.
Everybody,
till I try and stand up off the couch and I'm like, okay, that's not out. But, and then being the youngest of a big family, my sister lives real close to me. My brother is down in Tucson. The rest of my family's in California.
Okay.
My sister lives 9 miles up the highway with my mom. She's my mom's caretaker.
Okay. That's awesome.
My mom's 80.
Great. And good genes.
Yeah, yeah. She's got some health problems and isn't always coherent, but she's doing much better. Living in Arizona, slower pace from the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Doing a lot better. My sister does a dynamite job with her, but in my sister's eyes, I'm still 7.
Yeah, you're a baby.
And in my eyes, she's still 14 and she's a pain in the butt. Yeah. And we butt heads on things sometimes because of that.
Yes.
Because she does, I'll mention something to her, suggest something. She goes, "What do you know? You're 7. Well, no, I'm 50.
I've done it all. Yeah.
To try and wrap my head around, okay, now, especially when my son was first born, I've got to take care of this shit. It seems odd, but I've got on my phone, I've got an alarm because the school's up where we are Monday through Thursday.
Okay. Oh,
so he doesn't have school on Friday.
That's
works
great.
Out great. My wife doesn't work on Friday. She works 4/10s.
Oh, that's awesome.
So Fridays are our day when we try and do things together. We get the whole day. Yeah, it's great.
That's awesome.
My phone has automatic alarm set up. Mm-hmm. He gets off at 2:30.
Yep.
So my alarm goes off on my phone Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 1:50. At 2 o'clock and at 2:15.
Make sure you're awake to get them there.
Not awake. Make sure I remember. Because I carry around, a couple of grand worth of camera equipment constantly on my shoulder.
Yes.
Have for decades.
Yes.
And I've left a Denny's and gotten in the car and go, oh, I left my camera. Have to run in because
it's like that laptop story.
The laptop. The first thing that I was worried about when my wife told me she was pregnant was one thing financially. It's like, okay, can we do this?
Yep.
But then I'm like, what? How am I going to remember not to leave my kid, infant son at in the shopping cart? Because I've done
have
that.
You done it?
No, not with my son. But I'm freaked out that I'm going to forget, or I'll be, because I run around a lot for work. I might be in the next town over, half hour, 40 minutes away.
Yep.
And then look, oh, it's 2:15. I'm not going to have time to. So I have these alarms set to remind me no matter where I am. If it goes off, okay, I've got enough time to get back in, unless I'm down in Phoenix or something. But people crack up at that. They go, wait, why do you have your alarm going? I don't forget.
I set alarms for everything.
I'm an old man.
I take pictures of wherever I park. I take pictures of my, okay, 4B, that's where I parked.
That I did 3-4 times this weekend because I'm in a rental car.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember what it looks like. No, I walked out into the motel. I'm sitting there, and there's 4 vans exactly the same. I'm like, which one's going to light up when I hit the button? Oh, that was amazing. Just being such a knucklehead and being in charge of a small child. It's mind-boggling.
So cool.
I joke. My wife doesn't think it's very funny. She thinks it's very accurate. I said, I'm the father of one. I have one child. She has 2. She has twins. They just happen to be 45 years apart.
I remember my younger brother, when we were at the pediatrician, he was probably 5. And the pediatrician, Mrs. Simone, how many boys do you have? And she was like, 3. And Marcus, no, Mom. I forgot about Dad. You have 4 boys.
I'm amazed that we lived the whole mess of us, my sisters included, because we were, when you're talking about the felonies taking place at your house, one of the earliest memories I have, just being dumb numbskull kids.
Yes,
we lived on a corner, and it was a now it's a 4-way stop. My brother lives in the house we grew up in.
Oh, that's awesome.
But it's a 4-way stop now. When we were growing up, it wasn't. We were on one corner. Kitty corner from us was the high school.
Whoa.
And then 4 houses away was the elementary school. So we didn't have to go too far for school.
That's incredible.
And then about 3 blocks down was the junior high.
Dude, that's the best setup ever for a kid.
We didn't have, and so ours was like the centrally located house. So at any given time,
Chaos
there were 15 kids in our yard.
Chaos Central.
But before the 4-way stop, they had a crossing guard out there.
Uh-huh.
And John was the crossing. He's an old retired guy.
The best.
And he had an old, I don't remember what it was, probably a Buick or something with the big fins on the back.
Yeah.
And I was 3, maybe 3 years old, and I would go hang out with him, me and John.
The best.
This old man, he'd wear the little, like the old cop style hat.
Yeah.
And he'd sit out there. He'd be out there first thing in the morning, and then he'd come back at lunch. And it was my job Because I hung out with them all the time.
Yeah, it's the best.
My brothers
and sisters. My favorite thing, watching little kids hang out with old guys. It's my favorite thing.
Then you'd like to watch me and my son, because it's an old man and a little kid. But my brothers and sisters were all in school. My mom would be doing mom stuff in the house. And I would go hang out with John. I was like 3 years old.
It's awesome.
And I had a job, and he would tell me, okay, I got to go. Because when he had to go, I would push his car. And he would go. That's how he got home, was I would push his car.
That's awesome.
And I would do it every day.
Uh-huh.
And then one day I started pushing his car and he started driving away and I got a little freaked out. It had the big fins on it. So I grabbed the fin and I sat on the bumper.
No way.
And this
There's
is
no what, way he could see that.
No, no. And this is what I remember. He's driving down the road. It's a 25 speed limit. And, you know, and I remember holding on, looking up, and the mailman, when they used to push the little leather.
Yeah, yeah, thing. The little
and he's going,
bits.
Hey! And we're driving past him. And the next thing I know, I'm on my couch. I had fell off. He heard the mailman yell.
Hit the brake.
And then I rolled off and ended up in the gutter, in the curb.
Oh, my gosh.
And I wake up, and I'm 3 years old. And I'm on my couch, and there's firemen standing over me. They have big helmets. And I remember going,
this is awesome,
should we take him to the hospital? And my mom's, he'll be all right.
I've been through this before. I got a house full of kids. I can tell he's okay.
Man, the stuff. My brothers used to convince me that, you know, we're a single-story house.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you know, take the umbrella up on the roof. It'll be a good parachute.
It'll be good, dude.
No. It's like you jumping off into piles of leaves. Yeah, my brothers used to torture me. And then the first thing when I got into school and there were kids smaller and younger than me, I learned a lot from my brothers. Those poor kids in my class growing up, and the neighbor kids, boy, it was a mess.
Revenge is mine, Matthew.
Wasn't even revenge. It was just like, now I can try this.
This is what you do, right?
I was innocent enough not to have evil revenge thoughts, but not smart enough not to injure small children. Now I got a little play toy at home, and he's smarter than me. Better looking than me and dresses better than me. I don't know.
What's the best thing about being a dad?
You know, it's learning things all over again.
Wow.
Because we get, you know, as we start doing things just by habit and by rote, and now I'm teaching him or he's learning stuff, and I'll look at it through his eyes, whatever it happens to be, you know, reading. Yeah. And, you know, you read stuff now. I like reading. You know, I read stuff, but I'm kind of getting the gist of things, especially if I'm reading something that's not, you know, too deep. You just kind of zoom through. Yeah. You get the gist of the story and the accounts and stuff. When he's reading something or when I'm reading to him and I start looking at it word for word and letter for letter, I get engrossed in it. And then I have to do some reading and stuff for like either the podcast or the radio I do or presentations and stuff that I do for some of my clients.
Yeah.
And I find in the last few years that it won't show in this podcast because I'm stumbling over everything, but I became a better public speaker.
Awesome.
Because reading to him, I start getting into voices, and I over-exaggerate things to make it interesting for him. It's obviously toned down if I'm in a room full of, you know, some of our council members or you know, clients or something.
You know, the secret to communicating is, though?
Yeah.
Treating adults like they're children.
Yeah.
It really is. Hey, buddy, cool shoes. Where'd you get? People are like, I just got them.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. And I'm also starting, one of the things I love about life is people in general to me are just so cute. Like, I think little kids are obviously cute, and my favorite people are old people. But when I see, like, a 45-year-old guy that's wearing, like, his stonewashed jeans from the 90s, and he's like, you got to get out into the mix, Gil. She's not going to just walk into your life. It's time to start. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's so – you know what I mean? Like, adults were just cute. Yeah. It's amazing. Life is beautiful.
But I tell you, it's just – it's so nice to look at stuff and not worry. Like, you talk about, you know, the cool kids and trying to impress people and stuff. I never did that anyway, even growing up. It was kind of like
that's
a lost cause.
Yeah.
But with my son and with the kids, when I've done some work in his classrooms and stuff.
Oh, that's got to be the best.
You got to know, what do you care? Yeah. I'm just playing with them. What are they going to judge me? I'm already an old man. What's the worst thing that can happen?
That's how you know you're really mature. Like, I remember my older brother telling me, he goes, Steve, I'm mowing my lawn in a pair of jams from the 1980s, black socks just because I can. And Mary's like, get in the house. And he's like, nope, I don't care. And he goes, and I love, like, if his daughter's, like, talking about the cool kids, he'll go over dressed like an idiot. Hey, guys. Dad, go away. He loves it. And I'm just like, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's the best.
I told you when we were talking last week, and like I said, this, over in Phoenix, I'm stealing stuff from you.
Good.
I've been starting to use in my last couple podcasts some of the things that, like your gratitude list and stuff.
It's the best.
Wording a little different.
Yeah, it's great.
But just the again, not trying to sound sappy, but the gratitude of watching this little 6-7-year-old kid learn things.
So
and when he watches, there's nothing like watching the Three Stooges with somebody who has never seen them before. It's hilarious.
I can only...
They're funny anyway. But, you know the bits. You're just
talking to
waiting.
A card-carrying member of the Three Stooges National Fan Club from 1986 through 1990. My dad used to take me to Trevo's. I know it was in Ben Salem, Pennsylvania, for the Three Stooges National Convention every year.
Oh, my goodness.
And, like, I remember meeting, like, Larry Fine's sister, Lila Budnick.
Budnick.
Adorable. And her husband, I think his name was Larry as well. I'm not certain, but he was the Foley artist for the Three Stooges. He's the guy that plucked the violin strings for the eye poke.
Doink.
Yeah, the greatest. I was fascinated. Moe's son was like the celebrity of the whole thing. Curly's daughter was there one year. It was fantastic. I love the Three Stooges.
There was the Lorenzo Theater close by where we grew up, the next town over. And they used to, it was one of the first places where they used to run like the midnight movies and stuff. This is like mid and late 70s. Rocky Horror was first shown there.
But
they would run, every couple of months, they would run a Three Stooges marathon that wouldn't start until midnight.
Awesome.
And I was like 9, 10 years old.
We
got to go.
The greatest.
And there was a guy that worked there. He was special. He had some issues, but he was an adult.
Yeah.
Erwin Schwann.
What's up, Erwin?
And he won a statewide curly lookalike contest.
Awesome.
And he was in. Somebody did the Three Stooges, the Curly Shuffle.
Yeah, I love that show. Jump in the Saddle Band, I think they were called.
The video
dance
for that.
All he, night, dance,
yeah, he was in that video. So
hey,
he was
in it?
Yeah. He worked at the theater. So
celebrity.
Before the thing, he would go out and do a little routine on the stage, because it was one of those old movie houses with the stage and everything.
I forgot until right now, that was my go-to song at middle school dance. I'd be like, do you have the Curly Shuffle? They're like, no.
Hey, Mo. And yep.
And I would do the curly dance, like 7th, 8th grade. That, and I would jump off the bleachers to Jump by Van Halen.
Ooh.
Idiot.
You hurt your other knee.
Yeah, I'm just an idiot. Dude, we got to get out of here.
What else you got coming up? What's going?
This it. CD, hopefully it'll come out. Ari Shaffir, season 3 of This Is Not Happening. That's going to be, I think, October. I don't think mine airs until December.
Nice.
Season 3, This Is Not Happening with Ari Shaffir. I don't know what I'm going to name the CD yet. I'm thinking Son of a Fish. And that's it.
All right. Well, cool. Thanks so much. Again, the last couple of weeks have been amazing.
Been awesome. Thank
I'm
you.
I'm sitting in the green room at the world famous comedy store in La Jolla.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And got to hang out with the cool kids all weekend.
Thank you for saving the
day. Man. That was a ball, man. Thank you so much. Well, that was it. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you muddled through it. Again, like always, as soon as we were done and we walked into the bar and got to talking, I thought of a million other things I wanted to ask Steve about. More questions, more stories. But again, we were both wiped out. I was tired. He was completely drained. The last thing he wanted to do was sit and talk with me. But Steve, being the great guy he is, did just that. And again, thank you so much to Ryan over at Don Carlos Taco Shop, eataburrito.com. Thank you so much to Steve Simone, awesomesteve.com. Thank you to the good folks at the Comedy Store La Jolla for making me feel welcome. Look for Steve's new CD coming out soon, recorded by yours truly, Mile High Show host Matt Santos. What an honor, what an opportunity that was. Now, having said all that, I'm probably going to get an email going, this is garbage. What kind of, what monkey did you have pushing buttons here? I hope not. I hope it sounds okay. Thanks to Bob Hansen, Jesse Egan, and Brenton Biddlecombe for taking time to say hi to me, sign a couple of pictures that we took, and entertain me. Big Pine Comedy Festival this weekend, September 22nd through 24th in Flagstaff. BigPineComedyFestival.com for ticket information. And don't forget, use that Amazon link at MileHighShow.com for all your online shopping to give us a little thank you, give us a little support, and use the code Mile High at checkout on that audible.com link, where you could pick up great books like Chicken Soup for the Soul, Thanks Dad, 101 Stories of Gratitude, Love, and Good Times, in honor of Steve Simone's Good Time podcast. Thanks for listening. Jump on iTunes. Give us a rating. Give us a review. Give us something. It is at milehighshow.com. Click the button that says support the show, and there are links to all of those things. iTunes, Amazon, Audible, even a PayPal button where you can just donate a few bucks if you want. Thanks for listening. Episode 107 in the can. Thank you to Steve Simone. I'll talk to you. Wondering if I've done it wrong. Will this depression last forever?